Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander. I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Now, our guest today is Albert Lanier. You've been a journalist and a writer for 21 years. You hold a BA at the University of Hawaii, and you've been a contributing writer for the Pacific Business News and Honolulu Weekly, right?
Correct. Well, 22 years, and then I retired in 2017, but everything else is correct.
Officially retired, but still going strong, I think, with the writing. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. I retired from journalism. I retired from being a freelance writer, but I didn't retire from being a professional writer overall. So as people who have heard me on other shows may be aware, I write a blog on Medium.com, and I write about media issues and current news, good event. So as the election is, you know, raging, and one of the reasons I came back to the show was I've been on other shows recently. I was on a show earlier this month talking about the election, and I know your show just did an election show. You did like a couple days ago. I did a show about the election.
That's right. You did.
And,
yeah.
Right. And I thought that was interesting for your show because you have kind of interesting content. I mean, it kind of runs the gamut, so I thought that was interesting that your show did that. And
some of the stuff we talked about, like for instance, and I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's like a poll that was in 2016. It was one of the only polls that said that Trump was going to win, and it said it was going to win again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've heard of this poll. Have you heard of it?
What is it called?
A poll that said that Trump is going to win this year?
Yes, it's called Trafalgar. Have you heard of it?
I don't think I have. Or if I did, I wasn't as conversant with it, perhaps. It's interesting because I was on a show earlier called The Ocelli Effect and I dealt with, you know, talked about early in the month and talked about the election. So one of the reasons I'm glad to be on the show, this show today, is to kind of take a break from talking about the elections. Because I talk about a number of objects in the past couple of years have been at times dealing with politics. I have a feeling after this election, I'm probably going to be talking a lot more about it. So what I can do is I can certainly come back after the election and talk politics if you guys are interested. For today, I'm here to actually discuss something I don't get a chance to talk about too much, and that is being a writer. And this is oriented more toward the audience that's out there. One of the reasons that I wanted to come do the show was, you know, you have different kind of personalities, different kind of people on the show and talking about what they do. And I, over the years that I've been on podcasts and on talk shows and on radio shows, I've talked about a number of subjects. I also have been on some shows about writing. I was on a show called Aspects of Writing, which is in Las Vegas, on a very good show, and another one, strangely enough, called Writer Groupie, where I talked about being a freelancer, being a writer. So it's interesting, you know. I don't get enough of a chance to talk about writing, or haven't had over the years, because I've talked about numerous subjects. And again, as I told you, I've been more recently, at least the past couple of years, talking a decent amount. Not a lot, but maybe enough about politics because of the election. And so it just gives me another opportunity to talk about being a writer. You know, there are people out there, especially even with this coronavirus that's going on, people may be assessing their jobs. They may not have a job, may not have a career anymore. and assessing what to do. It made me think about, hey, I always wanted to be a writer. I always wanted to write. You know, would that be possible? Is it possible? Might as well give it a shot. And I thought it would be interesting to, for the first time, actually kind of talk more to an audience than talk to, you know, with an audience in mind, than to talk just about subjects and talk about things. And so that's,
we would love,
you know,
that.
Major reason why
I don't
want to
interrupt you,
here.
Albert.
Oh,
I
want to
interrupt you.
Yeah,
but
you know,
that's
why I'm here.
I think that is a great idea because
right.
You're so right. I'm sure you hear this a lot right now with everybody in quarantine. They're trying to find
right.
things to do. Oh, what's it
right.
like to be a
right.
writer? Okay, well, you know what? Yeah, what is it like? It's probably a lot harder than it sounds, I could imagine. And maybe it's easy for some people. Maybe it's not. But so we would love to hear your insight on this.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I think where I'm going to focus on is what I've done professionally, because I know how to do it professionally. And that is, as I was mentioned before, I was a freelance journalist for 22 years, freelance writer for 22 years, and I'm still a professional writer for 26 years. But I'm going to focus on being a freelancer and also on being a blogger to a certain extent. I'm going to try to get that in as much. And
now,
I'm also
bloggers. Do you feel like what is the difference between blogging and? Because I thought when everybody makes a post on Facebook or internet, how is that different than a blogging?
You mean being on Facebook or Twitter? You mean or?
Yes. Yes.
Well,
he's saying, what's the difference between a post and a blog? Like, what is a blog?
Okay.
First of all, describe what a blog is.
I see. You know, I kind of see that because when I'm on Facebook, there are people who sometimes have these really long, really long posts,
right.
like essays. Yeah, well, a blog is, you know, it's known as a weblog. I think that's a technical term for it. Essentially, what a blog is it's a site dedicated to your specific take on a subject. So if you have blogs, could be about anything, right? And it's a number of different, it consists of different articles, different pieces. And it depends on what you want to talk about. So let's start out a little when we talk about blogging. I was not a professional blogger. I was a professional journalist and writer I've been a professional writer for 26 years. I ended up writing my current blog, which is on Medium.com, which is about, like I said, current news, current events, and let me see, and media issues. I wrote it kind of by accident. I had actually been interviewed for a blog. The blog was called Write Worldwide, and the blog, I think, is based in England. So I had been interviewed by a blog called Write Worldwide, and I think I was posting the interview on different parts of Facebook, and someone had mentioned that they read my interview and they were interested in you know, possibly freelancing. And in the meantime, they were writing this, I guess, blog on Medium. And I went to Medium.com, and I checked it out, and it was interesting. I didn't like blogs. I didn't want anything to do with blogs because, as somebody who had been a journalist writing for magazines and newspapers, you kind of look down on blogs because, you know, blogs were seen as what amateurs did. You know, people who weren't journalists, weren't real writers, did blogs because anybody could blog. And so I had never had any interest in, any desire to write a blog, any interest, any desire, and any thought of writing a blog. None of that. And I went on Medium, and I saw it, and at that time I had just retired. I had just retired. I had retired. It was 2017, ending April. And I was looking for things to do at that point. And I thought, well, why don't I try this blog? And I did. I set up a blog there. And I've been writing since 2017. And I would call the blog that I've done different because, unlike being a freelancer, being a journalist, I don't have to pitch an idea to an editor. I don't have to get permission to do an article. I could just go and write about it. You know, I want to write about this. Great. Say, like, oh, I want to write about the election. Okay, I'll go write a blog article about the election. And that's
can you make money
what
doing a blog? Can you start it up where you're making
can.
Money? Or is it not about that?
In my case, I don't make money blogging. Because I was writing, my intent actually was to get away from money, you know, making money off of writing, because I had done it for 22 years as a freelancer.
Right.
So I was tired of all the business. I'm like, oh, dealing
mm-hmm.
with checks and dealing, I don't want to deal with that. So I haven't made a dime off the blog that I do on Medium. Now, you can do that depending on if it's monetized, if you have sponsors, if you have advertisers. You can do that. And that's one aspect. And there are people that blog, I guess, for a living. They do it with one of their primary aspects. Now, getting into blogging, if people out there are interested in blogging, here's what I would suggest that you look at in regards to blogging. Because it's something that, you know, it's one way to become a writer. You know, if you don't have, I guess, a lot of education or credentials or something, but you have knowledge of a specific area, it's a possibility. You know, some people might look at it askance in the professional world, but, you know, because there are professional blogs with newspapers and magazines as well. But I would say that if you want to blog, first and foremost, let me just go through a couple of aspects. First thing I would say to those perhaps interested in blogging is, what area or subject that you're interested in blogging? So pick something that you're, if not knowledgeable in, then you're an expert in. If you're knowledgeable in cars, you know a lot about automotive repair, you know a lot about anything regarding trucks or vans or anything like that, you might decide, hey, I want to do an automotive blog. I want to do something oriented toward that. Say you are a mechanic, even. You fixed cars. Maybe that's something you do. The more knowledge, and if it's something that you have knowledge and expertise in, that should be what you write. If it's something you don't know anything about, it makes no sense. So I would pick, pick something you're knowledgeable and have a great deal of expertise in. Go ahead.
I have a question. Now, what happens if it's something that you don't know a whole lot about, but you have a lot of appreciation for? Like, for example, you know, it's sort of like, you know, like Barbara may know a lot about a subject that I don't, but I let her talk about it because it's important to her. Or it could be something vice versa. I mean,
maybe
how do
you write about what you. How you love the subject then, Johnny, because he said you have to write about what you know about. That's what you do. So you could write about, I love this subject and your thoughts about the subject. And that could lead into something else. Just like Albert, when you write your blog, I'm sure that you can put the link to something else you wrote or your book link, you know? So I think it's a really good way to get yourself out there more, reach more people. Do you use it for that as well?
Right. You know, again, if you have an appreciation for it, I would assume you know something about it. If it's something that you have a degree of knowledge, a body of knowledge about, that's my recommendation. I don't think anyone should ever blog if they know absolutely nothing about a subject. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like if you know absolutely nothing about politics, and elections, and I mean, everybody has a political opinion, but that's different than having, you know, it's different from having a political, having opinions is not the same as having, how would I say, knowledge about politics. See, that's a big difference. See,
so don't write it,
more
read
than
it,
opinion,
else's.
Need knowledge. Yeah.
So go read somebody's blog or either know what you're writing about. You know, I always wanted to write one, though, but then I think, hold on, before I commit to that, will I really want to? Because isn't a blog that really often people tune in to your blog because, you know, they want to read it daily. How often do you write your blog?
You know, I'm somebody that's interesting because I don't write my blog every week or every month. I do it every so often. So weeks could go by before I write a blog. I don't write too many blog pieces. So within a given year, I probably would at best write, I don't know how many that I've written in a year. I would certainly write less than 50 and certainly probably less than 20. I only write so many blog pieces. Huh? Go ahead.
To me, that seems like a lot per year.
Yeah, you know, part of it, again, is that I'm retired, and I don't want to crank out stuff all the time. I don't want to crank out piece after piece after piece, because I did that, you know, years ago when I was a freelancer. I did for years, and, you know, like, again, my approach to my blog would be different from most people's. I'm retired, and I'm writing a blog in retirement, and I'm writing it when inspiration hits. If I find something interesting to write about or a subject worth writing about, I'm going to write about it. So that's why I do that. Some people write some people might write every day. Some people might write every week. Some people might write every month. You know, it. I guess it depends on the blog. It also depends on if you're, you know, again, what you're writing about, what the subject is, and it also depends on your audience. You know, you want to keep an audience. For me, I'm not. It's not about. It's different. So I approach a blog. I have to understand. I want people to understand. I'm a little different in that I'm retired from journalism. I'm retired from freelancing, and I'm writing it in retirement.
You're retired.
But for people who are, you know, bloggers and they're tend to make money off of it, that's different. You may need to have a lot of. You want to be consistent so that you have a consistent audience that will come to your blog, read it, and obviously support the advertisers, support whoever supporting the blog financially, if there are advertisers or sponsors to a great extent. And that gets into another area, which is you start from the first point. The first point in, if you want a blog, pick a subject, pick an area that you have knowledge in or you're an expert in. The second aspect is consistency. You want to be able to provide enough content so that people will be interested in the blog. So if you have a blog, you're not going to write a blog once every 6 months, right? Because that doesn't make any sense. You can't build an audience if you write one blog and then 6 months later you write another blog and then the year's gone. Two blog pieces in a year now. It's not going to do it.
Yeah. What it is that I think sometimes, like for example, I like the idea that Barb has helped me out, not to compare. I know that the show is not a blog, But they call it Blog Talk Radio, so, you know, that's, you know, we might as well, you know. But the thing is that, you know, Barbara makes it so that I can do a show more often, that it's more, this is not just some sporadic thing, and, you know, it's not like every week.
I was thinking about that too, Johnny, how it's called Blog Talk Radio, and what's that all about? What do you think, Albert? Why do they call it that?
I think it's probably, I don't know. I mean, I've been on Blog Talk Radio shows, but I think it's probably because it's internet-based. So, you know, one of the aspects of the internet is blogging. You're, obviously, it's talk radio. You combine internet with talk radio, you get Blog Talk Radio. Just my assumption, I don't know. But as I was saying, you know, it's the consistency. You have enough pieces, you have enough material that you will be able to have a blog that will people will come to every so often and read on a consistent basis. And again, if you have advertisers or you have sponsors, that's important too, because they want to be able to put money into or monetize and financialize something that will have an audience and a consistent readership. A consistent base of supporters. So I think that's important. So picking the right subject, that's important. Also, and having knowledge and expertise in that subject, but also having enough content, having enough pieces in your blog that you'll be able to fill it. And the final aspect, I would say is the blog itself. You know, my blog's very simple. I'm on Medium.com. Medium.com is kind of a website for blogs. So it's a very simple setup for me. You know, I don't use pictures. I don't use photos. Probably should, but I don't know how to do that. I'm not a tech-savvy person. I have to admit that. But I make it very simple. For me, it's about the text. It's about headline. And my headlines are usually, I try to make them a bit wise-ass. Something that,
oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, thank like you. I think my, I'm trying to remember, so my headline, I'm trying to remember the one that I did. Like I did one, I think the last blog piece I did was about the Democrats and their efforts to get the Green Party off the ballots in several states and about third parties. And it was called Game of Polls.
Oh.
Game of Polls.
Yeah,
the Democrats.
Like
yeah. So see. I've had names for other titles for other pieces.
Why do they want the Green Party off the ballot?
Oh, the Democrats?
Yeah.
Well, read my blog. You'll find out.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Go to medium.com, medium.com/@the Dr. 50. That's where my blog is.
Okay.
That's medium.com/@the Dr. 50. You can read my blog about the Green Party the Democrats wanting to get Green Party off of the ballot in several states, including Wisconsin, swing state in the election. Let me give you a brief answer. What I state in my blog is, my blog piece is, I believe one of the motivations was not only 2016, when Jill Stein ran as a candidate and got a certain amount of votes. Their contention was, well, Jill Stein, her margin of votes was enough to make the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in several key states. That's BS as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's absolutely true. But I think that was one motivation for the Dems. I think in my analysis, I argue that they're also mad at what happened in 2000 when Ralph Nader ran as a Green Party candidate and that election where Democrat Al Gore ran against George W. Bush, and Ralph Nader sucked up a number of votes or a certain amount of votes in states. And again, the same accusation, he made the difference. His votes and the margin of his votes were the reason why Al Gore eventually lost to George W. Bush. It's ridiculous. It wasn't. But that's an answer. Like I said, if people want to find out more about that, they can go to my blog, medium.com/@the Doctor 50. Read about that. Anyway, as I mentioned, the last point in regards to blogs is the fact when you look at blogs, what you want to be able to do, as I mentioned previously, the first thing you want to do is give you knowledgeable in a subject and have that subject area. Secondly, you want to be able to provide enough content, provide enough blog pieces so that you can draw an audience and keep your core group of supporters or group core audience base. And the last part is that you want to be able to create a blog. This really goes back to kind of the beginning. You want to be able to create a blog that people will go to. Again, it depends on what you want to see on your blog. You know, I'm on medium.com. That's the kind of template and space that I'm on, the website that I'm on. Other people use things like WordPress, to build their blogs. So what they would do is I've never done that. All I did was go to Medium, set up my blog there, good to go. But other people, they'll go to WordPress and they'll create their blog and they'll set it up the way they do. What I would say when you create your blog is you want to be able to make it germane to your subject, to what you're talking about, but also find a way aesthetically to attract an audience. So if you can use pictures that have some appeal and that relate to your subject matter, nice, clean look in regards to the website, to your blog site. You know, something that isn't, you know, it's nice and clean. You know, it's clear, it's readable, the text looks good. That's really important.
Right, I see yours. Albert, I'm on medium.com/@thedoctor50, and it is what you're describing, obviously, because you're doing it. It is clean, concise. I like the bold print for the title.
Right.
It's easy to, you know, maneuver around. I like it. And you know what? Thank you for doing this and coming on to talk about this, because I really have been thinking about doing it in my subject that I wanted to write about was after I do shows. Sometimes I feel like really writing about the show and what went into it and what, you know, we hit upon and, you know, just quickly, but not every single show because we were doing it 5 days a week. That's a lot of writing for an amateur writer, which, you know, I just want to do it because I like to express myself. What do you think about that idea for me?
Like I said, you know, a lot of people blog, you know, bloggers, again, because it's not open, because blogging isn't like writing. I mean, in a sense, it can be writing for a living, but it's not like writing for a living like magazine writers do or newspaper writers do or even authors of books and other publications do. So whatever you choose to write about, again, as I had mentioned before, you know, you bring your interest and you bring your expertise and experience to it. You have to choose the right vehicle for you, and that's what you've got to be able to do. And you've got to be able to do that effectively, and which I think is important. And so in that area, you know, I don't dictate content to people, and I don't dictate what they're interested in or what they want to do, but hey, sky's the limit, whatever you're interested in. If you think, my view is, if you're going to blog, pick something that you're really interested in, that you know a lot about, and go for it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's what I think is important. And as I mentioned before, so to kind of reiterate, just to go over the blog, so we can wrap this portion up. Those who are interested in being bloggers in this aspect of blogging, look at the 3 points. First point is that you want to choose a subject that you're either an expert in or interested in. that you have expertise in professionally, employment-wise, or as a hobby that you know a great deal about. Secondly, make sure that you provide enough content on your blog that will, one, draw an audience so that you have an audience, and two, if you have advertisers, do you have people that are interested in monetizing your blog, in advertising, putting ads, or just putting money into your blog, that you can justify it in terms of the metrics. Okay, I have this many people that come to my blog, that read my blog, that view my blog. You look at the metrics, you look at the data would be effective. And you provide enough content for those individuals that make up your metric, your data, that follow your blog, that read your blog. And finally, your blog itself, what does it look like? What's the aesthetic of the blog? What's the look of the blog? And how it appeals. I don't like to see writing. It's a business, and I'm sure blogs are a business as well. If you see it as content, because I don't view myself from a pure business aspect or a pure business perspective, but look at it. If you want to look at it as a product, look at it as, okay, this is my product. How does the product look? Is the packaging great? Is everything look inviting? So that means with the blog, your photos, the way your text appears, the look of your site. My advice is always clean, clear, and cohesive. And that's what I would say about blogs, those three points.
That's great advice.
Right.
That's awesome. Do you read anybody else's blogs? I mean, you probably do.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know that I read too many people's blogs. To be honest, I hate to admit that, but I think it's true. I don't really. I've read blogs before, but I don't know that I spend a lot of time reading blogs. I think one of the reasons is I'm when I'm not on a show like this, I'm doing, you know, I'm going and I'm looking at stuff on YouTube and I'm looking at other stuff, and when I write my blog, and because I have to do research for my blog as well, you know, before I write my blog articles. So I don't get around, I think, to reading that many blogs. Sorry.
Okay. No, I just was curious. But that is really inspiring me, what you've been saying. So you're not judgmental if somebody, because you know blogs, you were saying, so, but they're usually for amateurs. Or they
right.
are for amateurs sometimes.
Yeah, anybody can.
Do you
can
look
blog.
At, do you critique? Do you critique, like, if you were to peruse through somebody else's blog, do you critique their writing skill, or do you think, oh, well, it's a blog, you know, anything goes, let's, you know, or does it bug you when you see, like, the sentence structure isn't correct, things like
I see.
That?
Yeah, I mean, I have seen blogs which are, how do I put it, not well written, and I generally look at a blog, it's decently written, but I've seen a couple that, you know, mistake here, mistake there. I guess I can understand it. But I saw some blog, it was done in this sort of, like, street lingo, street argot, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I just went, it doesn't work for me. But, I don't spend my time, if I do read a blog, I don't spend my time critiquing it, because I've spent less time writing a blog, only 3 years, compared to writing for magazines and for newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent over 20 years doing that. So, yeah, I don't really critique that kind of thing. I don't critique blogs. I don't do that. I'm not a blog master, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, before I get into a couple of other areas that I will be going into for the show, I just wanted to remind people, speaking of blogs, my blog can be found at medium.com. So I wanted to remind people, if you're interested in reading it, you can go to my blog, which is medium.com/@thedoctor50. That's medium.com/@thedoctor50. And I deal in current events, current news, and in media issues. So check it out if you're interested.
A lot going on right now, right, Albert?
Plenty.
Right now.
Oh, yes. There is a lot. There's plenty.
And so is this very enjoyable for you to do this? I mean, you're retired, so you can do whatever you want. And obviously, this is a choice. So you must really enjoy it.
It's the purest form of writing I've ever done in my life.
Oh.
It really is the purest form of writing.
Because it's all yours. It's whatever you want to write. It's not a job. It's just coming straight from your heart.
Right, precisely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the purest form of writing I've ever done, and because I don't have to sell it to someone, I don't have to get an editor interested, I don't have to get a publisher interested, I don't have to send it to an editor and, you know, see what it's like edited or eventually see it published. I decide I want to write about something, I go and I write about it, and I press publish and it's written. And
that must be refreshing.
Refreshing is a perfect word for it. It's different than everything else I've done. So it's been satisfying. I've enjoyed writing the blog. I wouldn't want to write one for a living, but I've enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it because I am retired and I didn't do this for a living. I wrote magazine and newspaper articles and was a journalist.
Right.
So.
And then the last time you were on our show, you were talking about how just being in so much because of the coronavirus, that you weren't used to it because you're not a homebody. You're exact words. And I was just wondering, how are you dealing with that now? Is the blog part of dealing with having to stay in a lot, something to do extra in your life?
It's you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's weird. I've never been in a position like this. I have absolutely not left my apartment since March. So I have not been out of my apartment building since
March. Even to the park.
I haven't been out to a park. There's a park right next to my apartment building. I haven't been out. I haven't left.
You're super careful.
Yeah, you know, because I have other people in the apartment and I don't know who has it and who doesn't, the thing about it was, the weird part has been, I've been retired for 3 years and my only routine schedule was going to events, going to activities and parties sometimes and so forth, and that's gone because of the coronavirus. So I don't have any business to take care of. I don't have anything I have to do outside here. So it's been weird for me because I don't really have any business to take care of, anything to do. I'm not losing any money financially because I retired 3 years ago. So I'm not in a financial – unfortunately, I didn't get any stimulus. Gee, thanks, federal government. But I'm not losing any money, and I don't have to worry about, man, I want to be out working and all this kind of stuff. I don't have to worry financially in that sense. I'm not losing any money, so I don't have any financial worries, no debts, none of that to worry about. In that sense, it has worked out for me in regards to the coronavirus. I've been very fortunate. I think I've been very, very fortunate because there are millions of people that have lost jobs, lost wages, and even lost places to live. Evictions are through the roof.
We're lost for a
while. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's an incredibly tough situation, and I've been very, very, very fortunate. And I think a lot of that was I retired 3 years ago, and I didn't have a job to lose. I didn't have money to lose. And I am considering coming out of retirement, though. I'm considering doing it because I, you know, want to be able to move, and I won't be able to move unless, you know, I have enough resources to move. And so I'm considering coming out of retirement maybe next year. We'll see. I may have to go back to work. Well, we'll see, which I'm not really looking forward to, but, you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. So we'll see what happens. But in any event, now that I've dealt with blogging, I want to deal with the two other aspects that I'm going to talk about. The other aspect is freelance writing. I was a freelance writer for 22 years, and looks like I might actually go back to that if possible. But I was a freelance writer for 22 years. So basically, what I'm going to deal with or draw on are my series of seminars, the three seminar series called The Basics. And The Basics is a series of seminars, a three-seminar series. I came up with it a number of years ago, and I did it out of convenience because I thought if I'm ever asked to give a speech or a talk or a seminar about writing, I didn't know if I would. I wanted to have something that I could just automatically give, and I didn't have to go and write it and then deliberate. I could just have it done and just memorize it and just go. And that's where this came from. And the series is three seminars. The first seminar is called The Basics. And The Basics is what I call the three rules of writing. And I'll be dealing with those rules briefly here today on the show. So that's the first of the seminars, The Basics. It deals with what I call the building blocks of being a writer. Three rules of writing. Now, that's for anyone. Doesn't matter what you do. You want to be a screenwriter, you want to be one a copywriter, you want to be a green card writer, doesn't matter what you want to do. That's no matter what profession, what writing field you want to go into. That's The Basics, the three rules of writing building block. That's the first seminar. Second is called The Goods, which I'll also be talking about, which deals specifically with freelance writing. So just like I dealt with blogging earlier and went and talked about blogging and what bloggers should do and probably to a certain extent need to do, I'll deal with people who want to freelance and what they should do and what they need to do. Finally, the last of my series of seminars is called The Business of Writing, which is a sequel to The Basics, and it deals with just that, business aspects, industry aspects of being a writer. So what I'm going to draw on and what I'm going to talk about today are briefly talk about the basics, three rules of writing, and then I'm going to go into the goods, which is about freelance writing. So that's what I'm going to go into, basically. So let me start out by dealing with – go ahead.
I'm writing it down. I'm learning. I've got the number one going, the basics, three rules of writing. Oh, yeah, I'm interested. I love writing.
Okay. Yeah. Let me start out with the basics. And, the whole point of the basics was to provide – I came up with it because I felt that individuals – you know, they want to be writers, but most of what they do in terms of wanting to be a writer is how do I get published? How do I get my book published? How do I get my screenplay sold to a studio? How do I get my TV script sold, a network or whatever? That's what they're interested in. And, you know, very, how do I put it? They want the rewards. But to get the rewards, and, you know, you've got to be able to produce. You have to have the skills that allow you in the basic structure to do so. And I think what people need is that, what I call basics. And what I found in 26 years of being a writer are the basic qualities you need to be a writer, whether you're going to do it a quarter of the time, whether you're going to do it half the time, or all of the time, all of your life, after your life, quarter of your life. So the basics compose of, like all my seminars, they compose of three-point structures. Yeah, I know, Barbara, you're an actress. To use a screenplay term, a classical three-act structure. So a classical three-act structure. Now, before I go into this, I do want to state as a disclaimer that if people are interested in being writers, I assume that you know how to spell words, that you have proper grammar and syntax, that you can put sentences together in paragraphs. It may be odd for me to say this, but, you know, some people want to do things, but they don't have the basic skill sets or the basic aspects to do it. Like, you see that with American Idol. People want to be singers, but they can't sing, and they can't sing on key. It's off-key, atrocious singing. So, you know, if you're barely literate and you can't spell, you know, you're not going to be a writer. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I hate to do that. So I assume that people listening and those interested, you know how to spell, you got grammar, you syntax. Okay, get that out of the way. Let's deal with the basics. The basics, the three rules of writing, what I also call the three columns. It also leads into what I call the three D's, which you'll find out. So let's start with the three rules of writing. Here's the first rule, commitment. Now, what do I mean by commitment? I mean a choice. To be a writer, you have to choose to be a writer. Not only that, you have to follow through on your choice. Let's use, for example, marriage. Marriage is known as a commitment, right? So it's not enough for an individual to choose someone. They've got to be able to follow through on the choice. They go through a ritual or ceremony and they get married. That means that they are committed, or they honor, you know, they make a commitment, especially in a legal sense, as anyone who's been divorced knows. So commitment means not just deciding to be a writer, but following through on the choice and doing the things you need. Now, this first rule leads to the aspect that is known as the first D, which is dedication. You must have the commitment, and that means dedication. You must be dedicated to the task. That means you have to be able to stick to what you are, be able to do what you are able to set your mind to. And that is, not only do you get the right tools, you know, you get a computer and you get paper and you get all the tools that you need, internet and whatever. I mean, yeah, you need all those things, but you also get set to go to work. You're dedicated. You've already made the commitment. Now, going to work gets into the second column, as I call it, or second rule of writing, which is focus. Now, when you focus, what does that mean? That is, you put your attention to what you are doing or seeing or being involved in. That is, you're not allowing anything to distract you, get in the way, get you doing something else or involved with something else. Now, that gets into now let's use an illustration in that regard. Martial arts. I don't know if any of you have taken karate or kung fu or something. I haven't, but I know people who have. So focus means the second D, right? We had the first D before and the first point, dedication. This is the second D, discipline. So when you take martial arts, you've got to show up. You've already committed, so you show up to class. You show up to class. And you engage in grappling. You engage in all the skills that you need, and you develop physical discipline, and you develop mental and philosophical discipline. So when you learn the martial art, whether it's kung fu or karate or taekwondo or what have you. So that's important for the writer. The writer has to be able to be disciplined. You have to be able to, as I mentioned, they're focusing, they're not allowing anything to get in the way, and they're doing the work, and they continue doing the work, writing what you want, writing a blog, writing a script, writing a TV script, writing a novel, it doesn't matter what, you're doing it. You're disciplined. It's not just you do it once, you do it twice, three, four, you constantly do it, and you're focused. So the second point, focus, which is the second D, discipline. The final rule of writing, or column as I call it, is time. Seems simple enough, right? Seconds, minutes, hours, time. But what do I mean by time? in many respects, this is the most important of the rules. To be a writer, it's fine to have the commitment and the dedication. It's fine to have the focus and the discipline. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't put the time into it. You've got to make the time. You've got to have the time. You've got to devote the time. And this gets into the third aspect, which is duration, right? You're not just, as I mentioned with the second point, you don't just do it once, you don't do it twice. You're constantly doing it. And you devote the time, seconds, minutes, hours, to writing. Now, let me use a third example, which may seem a little odd, but I'll use it nonetheless. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Family Feud.
Oh, yeah, I was on that.
You were on Family Feud. Oh.
Yeah, the celebrity.
Did you make it?
And I got number one, got the number one answer, yes.
Okay. Now, did you guys make it to the final round?
We won. The Playboy Playmates won all four shows against the Hollywood Bachelors.
Okay. Now, the final round is like the, I don't know if it's the lightning round. In the lightning round of Family Feud, you have, what is it, 11 seconds on the board, right? Now, the contestants, as you well know, have to be able to get five answers on the board within those 11 seconds. So I use that as an example to say it's a use of your time. That person has to be able to get those five answers. They have to use their time effectively and manage to get the answers out there and the answers that will work. So it's the duration of the time, use of the time. So that's important. So let's go over this again and review. The three rules of writing. Commitment, not just having a choice, but following through on the choice. Focus, being able to concentrate and have attention to the work that you're doing, no matter what that work is, screenplay, TV script, novel, blog, whatever. Finally, time. You're putting the time in. You're spending the hours and the minutes and the seconds, all of that, engaged in writing whatever you're writing, whether you're going to be a screenwriter, whether you're going to be a copywriter, whether you're going to be a greeting card writer. It doesn't matter. You're putting the time in. And, of course, along with those are the three Ds, dedication, discipline, and duration. And that is the three rules of writing. Three rules of writing, and that's basics. That's for everyone. So everyone can benefit. Everyone can, no matter what you want to do in terms of writing. Like I said, you know, you whether you want to write novels, short stories, poems, plays, what have you, these are the three rules, as I call it, of writing. I don't like the term rules, but it's catchy. And that's what you need to be a writer.
Yes. Albert, that is what I was thinking when I was telling you, I've always thought about writing a blog since I started the show. Well, and I was saying, I just don't know if I would be able to stick with it, which would be under the commitment of it. Would you recommend if somebody's starting that to get some shows written before they actually start, or write some blogs before they actually publish the blog, just so they don't feel that pressure of, oh my gosh, I haven't written one for a while. Like, that pressure is what makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes, not with everything. Sometimes I like pressure. But, writing, that should be enjoyable. I would want to enjoy it. So what do you suggest then? Would you suggest to get some under your belt before you just publish it on, say, Medium.com?
Interesting. In terms of a blog? Well, the blog is yours.
Yes.
So, my view of a blog is I don't think, if you just do a blog, it shouldn't be a pressure, It's just you. It's just your project. It's whatever you want to do about it. And
it's not about following.
If you want to write down in a book, what a possible blog piece might be, go ahead and do that. I've done that with my blog pieces. I used to do that with articles. I would write some of them in advance on paper. I would do that. For others, I would just kind of write as I go along. I would just compose as I was on the keyboard. But I've written it out, and I've done that with blogs too. And for me, it's a time saver. I mean, when I get to the computer and I can just write it. So I don't disagree with that. You know, if you want to write something out longhand, you know, write it out and look at it and see if this works for you. And, you know, that, I think that's perfectly fine. I do want to get to the last...
What if, Albert, this is so important, though. What if you find somebody is really copying what you are writing verbatim? You see it somewhere else, and you've written this. I mean, is there protection when you're writing a blog?
Oh, I see. Well, there's basic plagiarism and copyright. I haven't come across anyone who's tried to plagiarize my blog pieces yet. I know plagiarism exists in the business, obviously. Even as a journalist, you know, there are journalists who plagiarize. I haven't come across it in regards to my blog. I'm not aware of anyone who is like taking parts of what I wrote and using it for themselves and pretending they wrote it. I don't think my blog's that well known. So, to be honest, I'm not famous, so I don't think that's the case. For me, I think if you know that somebody's plagiarized something, I think you have to go through the basic protocols, you know, to deal with them. You know, if they're on a blog and they've taken something and you've written it and they don't have attribution or they don't have, they haven't noted that you wrote it, then pick it up with whatever carrier or you know, site or whatever blog they're on or make it known, I guess.
Okay, but it's not your concern. It's not one of your concerns.
I haven't gone through it yet. I don't think anybody's tried to rip what I've written in my blog yet. I'm not famous. You know,
that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. You're a writer and you're a very, very good writer. You don't need to be famous.
Thank you. Let me put it this way. You know, I don't think I'd ever, unless Trump tweets about me or something, then maybe I'll be known. Then I'll become known overnight. But that hasn't happened yet. I don't think he's. Well, I hope he's not gonna tweet about me.
Well,
it's funny what I've had
he
to worry
about.
You. Huh?
He might retweet some of your tweets.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that'll get me into trouble.
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
So let me just get into the last aspect, which is relating to freelance writing, which is what I did for a living for 22 years. I was a freelance journalist and a freelance writer. And this gets into my second seminar of the basic series, which is The Goods. And I have to admit that the title of The Goods actually comes from a movie starring Jeremy Piven. I think he was selling cars on these three-day sales. Now, that's where the title came from. I saw the movie. I like the title. I think I'll use that for my, my seminar. Now, I'm not telling people go watch the movie. I'm not here to promote the movie. But you watch it, do what you want. But I'm just saying that's where the title came from. Was that movie? Now, The Goods. Now, when we talk about freelance writing, as I mentioned before, I was a freelancer for 22 years. I wrote for magazines and newspapers. So when I came up with this seminar, The Goods, I came up with it with more of an aim toward magazines and newspapers because as a freelancer, there are many different permutations. You know, you could write for, websites, and you can write for websites too with this information. or you could do, you know, you could do different kinds of writing, technical writing or so forth. So this is very kind of, it's fairly specific. It's this, my seminar is mostly oriented toward publications and websites. So magazines, newspapers, and whatever websites are out there that have freelancers. So the goods, like I said, every seminar that I do, everyone in the series, of the basic series, has, again, to use the term for screenwriting, a classical three-act structure, 3 points. So the 3 points that I'm going to look at, 3 points that I'm going to look at are what I, and again, I try to make it as very simple for people so they understand, no matter what their educational background. So when we look at freelance writing, in my experience, the 3 points that I have of the goods are concept, content, and contract, what I call the three C's. Now, what is concept? Concept means idea. So if you're a freelance writer and you want to write for publications, normally you either write on a assignment basis, meaning they assign you an article or assign you a piece to do, or you do what is known as pitching, not unlike what screenwriters do with Hollywood studios. They take an idea and they run it to, by an editor or a publisher of a publication to see whether that would be amenable to them, whether it would work for them as a possible article. Like I said, in Hollywood, you have screenwriters that pitch ideas to studio executives, and you know, which might be interested in, you know, for a possible screenplay. Now, so if you are going to, so when you deal with ideas, so let's deal with the pitch here. Normally, what you do as a freelancer is you send a either a what is known as a letter to a to an editor, and which outlines your ideas. And there are books about different letters that you can do, that you can write. And if you're not getting an assignment, so you, what you want to keep in mind if you're going to pitch an idea, and it's generally through a letter, and you send the letter to an editor through email, obviously. And here's what you have to keep in mind about an idea. Let's just take an idea. Let's say that I want to write for a magazine about 90s movies, right? 90s movies. And I decide I'm going to pitch an idea for an article on Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, right? And I'm going to pitch it as an idea. I'm going to focus on the women in Austin Powers, including the fembots. So,
right.
That's Johnny's interest on that.
Right.
When they left.
And now to speak about my idea. No. So I come up with this idea. Oh, I want to write for, what would I call it? A 90s film magazine. Call it Retro Magazine. And I want to do it on Austin. The idea that I have is to do a movie on Austin Powers, but to do it about the female characters in the Austin Powers movie and the female perspective from all the female characters. Okay. Now, let's, when we look at the idea that you have for a magazine or a newspaper, let's start with A, right? Does it have an inherent audience appeal? Every magazine, every newspaper, of course, has an audience. So we're dealing here with magazines. So the magazine, like I said, I came up with a fictional one, Retro Magazine, about 90s movies, right? All kinds of 90s movies. Okay. Does this idea have any appeal to an audience? Well, we know there are people that watched Austin Powers because they made it a hit. It was a hit movie. The sequel was bigger hits, but it was a hit. Okay, you know, there's an audience. Great. Now, So now I'm looking for an idea that may not – so I'm looking for an idea. If I just come up with, I want to write about Austin Powers as a movie, it's okay. Maybe it would work, maybe not. But the more specific and tailored your idea is – so would that idea, Austin Powers, be interesting to an audience? Probably would, because there's enough of an audience base. Okay, even for a magazine dealing with 90s movies, because it came out in the 90s. Okay, so it has what I would call an inherent audience appeal. When an editor or publisher looks at an idea that you have, they want to make sure that it not only fits the audience, that the but an audience would be interested. Will this be readable to an audience? Will they want to read this as an article? That's probably, in terms of coming up with an idea, probably one of the most important things that you can think of as a potential freelance writer. Will this be something that not just you would want to read, but what an audience would? It's not always just about you. You got to think in terms of an audience. Magazines have audiences. Newspapers have audiences. But since we're dealing with magazines, as an example, magazines have audiences and specific audiences. So you want to make sure that your idea is tailored to fit a specific audience. Just like if you were writing for a magazine about cats, would you pitch an idea about dogs? No. Why? Because the magazine isn't about cats. Doesn't fit the demographic. Doesn't fit the audience. Doesn't fit the demographic. So it should have the idea, the concept, should have inherent audience appeal. That's A or number one. B, what kind of facts are there that are interesting about this? So we have the idea for the – okay, so the idea I came up with, fictional magazine, retro magazine. The idea was Austin Powers, do a movie article on Austin Powers. We know retro is about 90s movies. Do this about Austin Powers and about women in the Austin Powers. Okay, so what facts? What interesting content, what interesting aspects can we dig up, right? Well, we know that, you know, was it Elizabeth Hurley was in the movie. We know there were other actresses in the movie. Barbara, of course, you were in the movie.
The second movie.
And so, like, say one of the aspects of the article is dealing with the fembots, which it probably would be. I'd be looking for interesting facts about the actresses that played the fembots or about their experiences on the set and how things were for them, right? So interesting things about the actresses, interesting aspects. So you want to make sure, since you got this idea, that there are some facts, there's some information, there's enough there that you would be able to do in regards to that.
Yes.
And the last aspect in regards to the concept is C, which is it tailor-made? Is it a perfect fit? So that comes to honing the idea down, right? We talked about audience appeal. Does this appeal to an audience? We talked about the second part, what kind of facts, what kind of information would make for a good idea in this regard. And then, is it tailor-made, perfect fit? That means you narrow the idea down so that you can have something that isn't just boilerplate, right? That's why when you look at what I mentioned about the idea for this fictional magazine, retro magazine, 90s films, I said, let's talk about Austin Powers, but let's talk about the women in Austin Powers, and let's go specifically at some point and deal with the fembots. They may not get as much attention as some of the other actresses in the movie. And you may look at how they, you know, this aspect parallels to the other aspects, depending on what your article is about. It parallels to the other aspects that this movie discusses. I mean, that this movie makes fun of. Basically, when you look at Austin Powers, it's a kind of parody or a satire of the In Like Flint movies to a certain extent. And other spy movies, but especially In Like Flint, and I think also the Dean Martin movies in the 60s too. I think that's maybe where the fembots came from for Austin Powers. So you want to be able to have an idea that would be tailor-made would fit. Oh, okay, Austin Powers. Yeah, about women in Austin Powers, the first movie. Oh, and also about these specific women and how they stacked up compared to, say, other femme fatales or other ladies in other 60s movies that it parodies. So, again, to go over that, in regards to the first part, concept, what is the concept, what does the idea mean? You want to be able to have when you come up with what is known as a query letter, which is where you lay your idea out to an editor. Sometimes you pitch over the phone, not always, but it's a query letter. What you want to be able is to have an idea, a concept for an article that has an inherent audience appeal, B, has interesting facts and information about it, and C, is tailor-made and is a perfect fit as an idea. So you've narrowed it down.
Well,
and so that's concept, that's idea.
So we don't get cut off. I'm worried about being cut off, but it's been great having you on.
All right.
I did not even realize that. We have only an hour, that's 6:11. But, oh my gosh, there's so much more to cover, it seems like.
Right.
It will cut
that's
us
true.
Off if we go on too long. If we go
right.
over an hour too long, it will cut
right.
us off. So
can.
Is there a part
so,
two that you
right.
could come back and continue this? I feel like I'm in college, actually, Albert. I do. I'm like, okay, I'm learning. Yeah,
right.
you really are
right.
a good teacher.
Oh,
you might be.
You
probably
right.
are going to be teaching.
Right.
I feel like you are.
I don't know. Well, I haven't done it, but just to briefly get this in the wire. When you add the second part is content, so you want to be sure to have a quality research. If your idea gets chosen, quality research, make sure it's cohesive and deal with what goes on in regards to politics of publications. And the last point is contract, so that's business. So you want to make sure that you don't work for free, make sure you get paid. So you also want to make sure that your time is well paid for, represented in terms of the article. And finally, you want to make sure that you get a decent rate of return on the article and that it's worthwhile for you, it's profitable. So the three aspects of the goods, concept, content, contract, the three aspects there.
Oh.
So I got all of them in under the wire, didn't go into detail but about the other two, but I'm fine with that. I got them in under the wire, so I'm happy.
Yes,
okay.
And wow, what a great surprise that you really had something that you really wanted to showcase, and that's so helpful, right, Shawnee, to us. Like, we didn't
yes,
have to choose a topic. You knew, and I'm glad that you got it all in, and I would love to have
right.
another. This is the third time you've been on our show, actually, but
yep.
to
right.
this show, let's have a part two to this specific show here about what it takes to be a writer.
No. Okay.
Three rules
I
of writing. You want to do that?
Yeah. I think I can do that. I think I can do another part two. Well, as I was saying before, what I can do, I mean, you guys did a show on election. So if you're interested,
yeah.
I can come back and do a show on that, and then later we can do a part two.
Okay. Oh,
like another
really
episode.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So what I can do, because I'm slated to probably go on another show after the election, after November. So you did an election show, I thought. So I thought I'd offer this to you, since you guys did an election show. I can
yes,
come back
did.
In November and do a post-election, post-mortem on the election and talk
okay.
about, you know, my analysis and my assessment of it. And that could be the next one. Yeah, so stay in touch with me about that. Yeah, I was very happy to do this. You know, I don't get a chance to talk about writing too much. And I was on a show earlier this year, I think, called The Specialist Hour, based in Virginia, and talked about writing. So I'm very happy, quite satisfied. I've been trying to do more, actually focus more on film, entertainment, analyzing film, and writing, talking about that. But I've been interviewed about other things, so especially with the election.
Sounds wonderful. And I'm glad you're happy.
Shout out now, Barbara.
Yes, I just want everybody to know exactly where to find Albert Lanier, because you've got a lot that we can learn about within your blog. So everybody, go to, I have medium.com. Go to medium.com/@thedoctor50, and you'll find a bunch of wonderful blogs that Albert has written. Read up on him, and then go to his Facebook and find out what he's been doing as far as all these podcasts, because you've been on a lot of podcasts besides ours.
That's right.
And
I've been doing shows. I've been doing podcasts, talk shows, and radio shows. I've been interviewed for over a decade. So, and still, you know, doing it. Like I said, after this election, I'm probably going to be on another show. I'm slated, I think, to do another show. I did a show earlier in the month, and I'm slated to do another show. So that's why I made the invitation, you know, to do the postmortem on your show, considering. But, yeah, you know, I've been on a number of shows, and people can catch me at Medium. I'm also on Facebook. And if you want to catch me, if you want to react to this episode, if you have any questions about being a freelancer and about blogging maybe, or even about my basics, you can contact me on Twitter. I'm at Critic Incorporated on Twitter. That's at Critic Incorporated on Twitter. So you can catch me on Twitter and on Facebook.
Okay, now, Barbara, can you do the shout-out for us?
Yes, and also you're going to be able to listen to this show and find all of our other shows on YouTube. Momentarily, this will be up. Life, Laughter, Happiness, YouTube. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. We appreciate that. And I can't wait to listen to this again. Over and over. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I've listened to your shows that you've done with us over and over, Albert. You are so interesting.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
We always love. We always love having you. Don't we, John?
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to talk to a beautiful, lovely lady like you, Barbara. I'm sure you make everybody sound great.
Well, I think you're enjoying it. We've got a lot of shows now, so we're just happy that you're part of it, and we always are grateful for your time.
And thank you for having me on the show.
We have a YouTube.
I think Johnny's worried it's going to cut us off. Oh, we have a TV channel now. It's on Roku, Life, Laughter, Happiness.
Oh, Roku.
Yes, so we just started it. It's where people can actually see us instead of just hear us. So Johnny's busy working on that, and he's giving me my own show as well. So I'm going to be a big content creator. I'm going to be a big content creator, more than I already am. I am quite a big one. So that's exciting. So we'll be in touch about that too, Albert. So thank you so much again for coming on.
Albert.
Should be interesting after the election. We can't wait to hear your thoughts after.
All right.
Yep. All right.
Good night, Albert.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you for having me.